This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. We have my trip to St. Louis this weekend. I visited St. Louis Anarchy for their show last weekend at their show at Spalding Hall. Got some great guests. We got Gary J, Eric Stevens, and Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. It was a hell of a show, real fun time. So I got to see some great friends. Jason Klein put me up Friday night. Got to see some wonderful people. Tommy, Stepstool Sarah, Daniel Maccabe was there. Gary J obviously was there. Warhorse, all caps, was there. Got to see the Hooligans last match in the United States. Gary ended up winning the tournament. You should really go and see it on IWTV when you get a chance because it was an eight-man tournament. Hell of a time, and travel to see wrestling shows. It's a really fun time. It was about 7.5 hours each way. Went with Dylan Hales and Papa Hales, and we had a really good time. The trips are really what make the make the fun of it, really, because you have a good time in the car. Going to Indiana this weekend for Paradigm Pro Wrestling and Black Label Pro Wrestling, getting a carload together for that, so we should have some good tales from that this weekend as well. So those are my wrestling travels. God, I've probably been to a show every weekend this year, traveled to it this year. And then we have Mania Weekend coming up in 6 weeks. So the fun is not going to stop, boys and girls. But before we have my guests on, I'm just going to kind of rapid fire them. We're going to have Gary, then Eric, then Big Beef. Let's talk about the Place to Be Nation. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, in episode 2 of PTB NXT, Jake, Jenny, and Tim check out the next 3 episodes of NXT TV from January 2014. In the latest Extreme 3-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and D'Amato recap the anticipated November-November 1994. On episode 142 of the main event, Scott, Nate, and Steve preview NXT TakeOver Portland and bring you another installment of New Japan Classic Match Picks. On Wrestling Warzone 36, JT and Chad break down an exciting week of Raw and Nitro from 2/19/96. There were 2 TakeOver Portland reaction shows, one by Jenny, JT Rosero, Tim Cable, and Jake Williams. The other one featured Zellner and Devin Hales. On a new No Holds Bar, JT and Aaron rank every February WWE pay-per-view in a list of Mania. That was a fun show, actually. In a Place to Be Nation wrestling special, Scott reveals his number 50-1 GWE matches. Be sure to check out our pop feed, littered with great content and tremendous shows, including the hard-traveling fanboys who had their 200th episode this month, leading to a well-earned sabbatical. Those boys have earned it. Congrats to Nick and Greg on a tremendous accomplishment. Be sure to check out their momentous show. On the feed of shows include Glenn Butler podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, DC for You, The Great Debate, Marvel Age, The Brother Sister Rewatch podcast, and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to the pop feed. While you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's Jenny Position as well, as the home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. We kicked out a 2020 stretch project to determine the greatest WCW match ever. All you have to do is research, promote your matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCWMatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. If you're interested in joining our wrestling pay-per-view pick'em pool, reach out to us on social media. Be sure to check out placetobenation.com every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. And if you're doing online shopping on Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of placetobenation homepage. Use placetobenation.com/Amazon, takes you right to Amazon, and helps us out with no cost to you. Coming up next is Gary J, and then we will have an interview with Eric Stevens, and then Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. I am here with Gary J. Gary J is one of the pillars of the St. Louis wrestling scene. Gary, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? How are you doing today?
Gary, we are here at St. Louis Anarchy, something that you helped build.
Yeah, I would say that's a very good assumption. obviously I'm a very big part of it, but at the same time, it's taken so many people that are still here and now that are not here to build it. So it's kind of more of like a family tree almost kind of thing. Like, it took a lot of hard work and a lot of people that aren't even part of the shows anymore to help build this. So, but yeah, I'm a part of it.
Talk a little bit about the history of St. Louis Anarchy.
Oh, man.
How's it come about?
Basically, a lot of us, me, Pierre, or / Matt Jackson, because he doesn't do anything but book anymore, really, and Evangelistico, all started in, like, 2003. That's where we met. I've known Matt since high school, so before that. So I've known him forever. Basically, to shorten the story, because I go on forever, but we started training. We started wrestling on the Lethal Wrestling Alliance, which was started by some people that we kind of met and started knowing. That turned into, like, monthly shows in St. Louis, Missouri. We got to be licensed and all that bullshit, which is a pain in the ass, but...
I've heard Missouri is a really rough state to run.
Oh, fuck. It's miserable.
But they have, blood tests, and they have, like, barricades, yeah. And they have all sorts of stuff.
Which is cool. Like, I get it. You want to be safe and everything, but at the end of the day... It's a full contact entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Unless you're making a lot of money at the gate, they come in and take half that anyways. So, like, they gotta get their money. You know what I mean?
And you're just independent wrestlers. You're not making bank.
We're not billionaires. God, I wish I was. I'd still do it. But yeah, God, I wish I was a billionaire. But basically, the LWA ran its course, and at the tail end of the LWA, Matt was really booking a lot of the shows because the guys that were running it were just getting tired and lazy of it. So he started kind of backhand booking, and then that turned into, we would go down, in the meantime, this is going on, and then we'd go down to Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Texas, because we were the Smith Squad down there. We were cool with Darren, and then Matt was like, kind of just want to run our own thing, and then Sam, Tom, the guys that were doing, Adam Raw, who's still part of the show, is a very big influence on what St. Louis Anarchy is, was pretty much in charge of the LWA's, like, booking. So he was getting tired, and he had shit to do, and he was, like, he was done with it. So we pretty much just switched names to St. Louis Anarchy and then relaunched. And, like, I couldn't tell you an exact date or year because I'm terrible with that sometimes. But our first show back was, like, in O'Fallon, Missouri, Illinois. O'Fallon, Illinois. And I think that's the same show where, like, I wrestled Akira Tozawa.
Cool.
Davey Richards wrestled Davey Vega. I think Dingo, which is a very big influence on this whole area overall, wrestled Matt Fitchett. Matt Fitchett was still young and green at the time. That's where obviously the Rook name came from. So it started there, and then we obviously had a lot of problems with venues, and then we finally found Alton. Ran there for a while, and like at that time, it was just three of us.
Alton being Spalding Hall?
Yes.
Where we're sitting right now.
Yes.
The famous Spalding Hall. The best venue of all of independent wrestling.
Thank you. That's a very high compliment.
Like, and I've been to a few.
thank you. Once again, it's like, I sidetrack. It's the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The shows are great. And like, obviously every show can be better and be improved. But it's just everything about it. It clicks.
It screams works. Wrestling.
Exactly.
In
and it, like, it's the atmosphere. You walk through that door, the show starts. It's just like... This weird energy, just kinetic energy, just in
this
the same
place
area.
Is wrestling.
Exactly. It was awesome. Who knew? In the middle of fucking Illinois.
I know, seriously, right?
So anyways, back to the main story. St. Louis Anarchy, the first run ran its course because, you know, we weren't really drawn the greatest at times. At first, we'd have big draws, and then there are times we wouldn't have big draws. And it was really fickle, and, like, obviously, we didn't have any money backer. We still don't have a money backer, like...
Very independent wrestling, by the
way. Yes, it's very mom and pop. Yeah. I hate saying that. Yeah. It's very like, there's a couple people that are on the inside and the rest is organic, which we're lucky now. But like, so eventually that ran its course and Major Basin came along and bought the company and gave Matt a full-time salary-paying job to book wrestling. So he took it. So
God bless America.
Yeah, exactly. So that the NWL, you know, what people think and say what they want about that, they gave a lot of guys full-time jobs and then gave Matt a full-time job, and he's my best friend, so he got a full-time living, you know, doing what he wanted to do, book wrestling.
And the NWL had an interesting concept. They gave wrestlers insurance.
Yep.
They had this was a professional group.
Absolutely. It's funny because you see AEW doing all this stuff on a larger scale when they kind of did it first, like on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
They had the venues. They were doing house shows for NWL would draw like 300 to 400 people. They didn't have a great draw in St. Louis. St. Louis was like this weird category for them. So, like, they were going to eventually just leave St. Louis, and then they had Kansas. They had TV in Kansas. They had TV in Springfield. Mm-hmm. Like, they were doing good TV towns, and then their house shows were fun as fuck. We're drawing like 300 or 400 people.
You had a territory.
Exactly. You pretty much ran like a loop of a territory. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It's just St. Louis, the people were always kind of fickle because it took St. Louis Energy away.
Yeah.
And we didn't know when the first turn, like when St. Louis Energy went away the first time, we had no clue what we had had or what mm-hmm. we built. We were like, wow, this sucks. You know, it was fun. We didn't know the legacy was even started then. You know, we had no clue.
And St. Louis has always historically been a great wrestling town.
Yeah.
Like dating back to the 20s and 30s. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been just, like,
we didn't know what we had in this building mm-hmm. and all the magic that like we'd had until people just social media started mm-hmm. really popping off. Because back when we first started, you know, St. Louis Anarchy, you know, there was Twitter and Facebook and mm-hmm. MySpace, but like it wasn't like as avid as it mm-hmm. is now, you know. Like, so we knew people enjoyed the shows, but we didn't realize that like people were like shook and were like upset mm-hmm. and like, you know, cried. And it was just weird ordeal to know that like, wow, we made this big of an impact on an area in just one building. Mm-hmm. And we just thought we'd failed. We're like, we're losing money. Like, the shows aren't drawing what we want. Like, it was kind of a fucking kick in the dick at the time. And then that goes away. NWL runs its course. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Matt was like, lost my job today. And I'm like, fuck. He's like, I'll figure it out. I'll be all right, you know, because, you know, Major shut the company down. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But, he's like, maybe we run another St. Louis Anarchy show, just one, see what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, to see. And, like, I think he tweeted on the St. Louis Anarchy Twitter, like, is this thing still on? And as soon as he, like, 10 seconds afterwards, it was just going crazy. And people were hitting Matt up. Is there a show? Is there a show? Can I work? Blah, blah, blah. And then that just snowballed into what we're doing monthly now. Like, obviously, like, you're not missing too much of the story there, but that's, mm-hmm. like, the majority, like, the
it's large it's a true social story. Media success story.
Kind of, yeah. And mm-hmm. it's just not social media here. It's like a lot of people have been coming to these shows that are like in the front row constantly, mm-hmm. have been here since day one, mm-hmm. and they came to every show. They were at the last show before NWL started, and they were at the first show when we came back. And we've just lucked out by the grace of whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of hard work. Our core team now works its fucking ass off when it comes to promoting, getting the word out, making sure fucking, you know, we have good talent that's booked and like actual stuff that people want to see, not just booking our friends or like, you can't really see the talent here and every other show around mm-hmm. in the area.
I like the mix you guys have because you have, you know, they call it the four pillars of St. Louis, you, Warhorse, and the besties in the world.
Yeah.
And that, and you guys are carrying the banner of St. Louis wrestling, but you have, you know, great talent. Evangelistico was just here. You guys have, you know, great talent. You come in. I just saw, you know, Slay Porter in here. I just saw, you know, Chip Day comes in from Atlanta. You know, you guys have a lot of guys, you know, come in, you know, come from the outside, you know, who are kind of part of the framework. But you also have, you know, Eric Stevens is coming in from Florida. You know, Dan Makabe is coming in. You know, so you had Nick Gage in, you know, for a little while. But you also, you know, and then Jeremy Watts, your champion, he comes in from Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great mix.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what you guys have coming in. How do you, I mean, I just love the how it's all formulated. Just love how it's all formulated.
And I mean, honestly, like, obviously Matt's my mm-hmm. best friend that I've known forever. Like, that's mm-hmm. him, man. He's the mastermind when it comes to, like, you know, putting shit on mm-hmm. paper and having it come to life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's our job to bring that story to life. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for him and, like, he's really good at leading talent. Mm-hmm. He knows how to build talent. So when mm-hmm. the pillars aren't here, let's say mm-hmm. one day because they're doing other things.
Yeah.
The company is going to be fine because there's already talent that's built up. Mm-hmm. There's already talent that can take those spots.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of companies don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's a team effort. It's a huge team effort because mm-hmm. everybody in the building that comes to the shows, you know, to work, if that's cameraman, setup crew, anybody that has anything to do with the company, like staff, they know this is special. It's important. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose this. We don't want to take this for granted. Mm-hmm. So we're going all in, you know, in all terms, you know, but like, it's just not me thing or a somebody thing. It's everybody. Everybody in the company works their ass off every show.
Let's talk about your career.
Huh.
You're 17 years in?
Yeah, 17. Man. Let's say that.
If you knew then what you know now, what would you tell young Gary J?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, I wouldn't change anything.
You wouldn't? Okay.
Because I'm really under the mindset of, like, I know it sounds cliche and stupid, but, like, my upbringing in wrestling and, like, the way I was taught, when's it really the most polite?
Sure.
When's it really the most, like, PC?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a big situation in wrestling now, and, like, obviously for a reason. But, like, you know, it was kind of really, you know, cut and dry. It was, like, either you fucking step up or step out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and a lot of my training was just me getting my ass kicked. Like, and I couldn't go on social media and bitch that, oh, my trainer beat me up. It was just, I was like, well, I'm taking an ass kick, and there's a reason for this. I didn't understand at the time. Mm-hmm.
And who trained you?
Adam Raw, Jordan Lacey had a little bit, and Nick Tyson. But, like, mm-hmm. Adam Raw, Nick Tyson, and Dingo, mm-hmm. who was a huge mainstay at the time. Like, he's a St. Louis, he's the reason there's, like, a strong style.
Sure.
He's, like, if you know any St. Louis history in wrestling, Dingo's a very big name.
Sure.
But, like, they would go in there and beat shit at you. And, like, you had no choice to either get out or you step up and fight back and learn that, all right, like, sometimes it's always not fucking rainbows and butterflies. Like, you're going to get your ass kicked. Like, now, compared to what training and stuff is nowadays, I'm sure it's night and day. I'm not saying it was right, but it definitely molded me to who I am and what I do because, like, I'm very stubborn and, like, I feel, yes, I do stuff to an extreme degree at times out there, but that's all for the performance or that's all because I'm an adrenaline junkie as well. So, like, and at the end of the day, like, I connect with people. I connect with the people, like, through whatever I'm doing, if that's a facial reaction or something I do that's stupid or considered stupid or, you know what I mean? Like, it's that emotional connection that I've learned to connect with people through actions or violence,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, like, I would describe your style as violent.
Yeah.
Because you're all of 100 and what pounds?
Like 170, yeah.
Yeah, you're not the biggest guy on the planet, but you fight for your life.
Exactly.
There.
And, like, we portray, like, these characters and what's going on is, like, exactly, like, that, you know, when I walk through that curtain, you're like, all right, this guy's a small, scrappy fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That be the underdog or a guy that's going to go out there and kick shit at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you get it as soon as you walk through that curtain. People know what they're about to see. There's no, like, well, he's kind of like this, but he's kind of like this. They know what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I branded myself because
yeah.
I'm my own merchandise. I'm mm-hmm. my own thing, you know, because obviously this is what I do. I travel and I market myself. But a lot of my training and upbringing, it was rough and it wasn't great at times, but I get why it was now. Like, I'm like, this makes sense. I kind of wish it was like that more nowadays, but obviously there's a lot of people that feel it shouldn't be like that. That's all right. It's wrestling. To me, there's no wrong or right. As long as at the end of the day, we're all trying to put on a show for the fans, no one's dying, and everybody's having fun. And, you know, if you make money along the way, that's even better.
Now, I have a friend in Texas who said he saw you come up in Texas.
Yeah.
I've seen you in Tennessee. I've seen you in New York. I've seen you, you know, and that's just my travels.
Yeah.
Talk about the importance of travel as a young wrestler and now as even as a veteran.
Oh, man. Like, that. Mm-hmm. Once again, with my upbringing, like, once I got my core down of, like, what I'm doing, and, like, I kind of know what I'm doing, like, I really didn't travel out of the state for the first 6 years, like, out of the state of, like, Missouri and Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I didn't wrestle a whole bunch, but I would still try to, like, get bookings and, like, shit places and just any kind of reps. I call it reps.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can go in a ring in front of a crowd and get reps,
yeah,
repetition, you go from there. But now, like, I tell guys now, it's like, Slade Porter just came down from Florida. He lives in the area.
Yeah, he just moved here, yeah.
I'm on the road with him every week now because he asked me, he goes, hey, man, I just want to get out there. He's like, I don't mind driving. I got a car. I'm like, perfect, like, I'll give you dates. Do you want to get in the car and go? Every time he goes somewhere with me, he gets on because he shows up and I ask. I'm like, hey, you mind putting him on? He drove and he's getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, Slade's been wrestling, I think, 5 or 6 years. It shows right there. He wants it. He wants to do it. So he knows, you know what? I know I can go hang out with my friends on the weekends or, oh, I could just sit at home. But the key to this is getting out of your bubble, getting out of your area. Once you get your area unlocked, which obviously, like, St. Louis is home and always will be home. But I realize if I want to be the best at what I'm doing, I have to go everywhere. I have to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never going to stop learning. Slay is a guy that gets it. He gets in the car and he goes. Like, you know, we go everywhere. Like, I think I'm pretty much married with him the whole month of March, like, with traveling and everything, you know. But I don't care. Like, he's a good dude. He wants it. He works hard. He has a character and he's trying new things. He's actually just trying to do different things other than what every other guy's doing, you know.
And in that, he's learning, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a prime example, you know, of, you know, putting people over, as I will. But, like, to me, he's a guy that, like, he has a character. He can cut a promo. He, you know, he edits his vignettes, and, you know, he's always asking how we can do stuff better. That Sometimes that's all you need to do is ask. I think some people are afraid to talk or ask because they don't want to seem stupid. You're not going to. We've all started somewhere. We've all been, you know, day one at school. You know what I mean? The first day of school sucks, But by the time you're halfway through the year, you're like, oh, this is great. You just got to get comfortable and realize that, like, you can pick the people out in the business that want to do it because they love it and obviously do it for a job or make money, or for the people that just want to say they want to do it. And those are the people that usually just get flaked off, you know?
Now, you've had a series of really memorable matches with Warhorse. Who else are some of your favorite wrestlers to work?
I'll fight Warhorse any day of the week. Yeah. I like smacking his man around. Aaron Williams is a guy that I'm glad. I'm a very big part of why Aaron Williams is St. Louis Anarchy, because we've done some stuff at Iowa Day Mid-South, and I was like, dude, this fucking dude's great. Another guy that's been wrestling as long as me, he just hasn't got out of that Dayton bubble.
Sure, yeah.
Ohio. You know, so now he's getting out more, and people are like, holy fuck, this dude's amazing. Where the fuck's he been?
Yeah.
So he's getting more exposure. Aaron Williams, I worked with Kyle O'Reilly and David Richards an awful lot on the first run of St. Louis Anarchy. Those two are another two that, like, helped mold me, and, like, I learned so much from them. And I know David kind of has a bad rep sometimes, but dude's fucking a class act and a fucking athlete to me. Amazing. Kyle O'Reilly, to me, I still say best in the world.
Look what he's doing now.
Too. Oh, God. I've learned so much from those guys. So there's Warhorse, there's Aaron, there's Kyle O'Reilly, David Richards. I've been very blessed, and I've had a lot of opportunities to work people. Anytime I get in there with Davey Vega, Matt Fitchett, obviously, you know, Pillars. Kurt, recently, good Lord, like, who knew that was going to happen, you know? Like, there's so much good talent. It's kind of one of those things where, like, everybody's like, who's your favorite? It's like, I kind of like to go in there and just have a good fight with every night of the week. Like, it should be, oh, man, it doesn't matter who he's in there with. That was good. That's what you should strive for. Not, he only has good matches with this guy or this guy because they're friends or blah, blah, blah. You should go in there and do your job and have a good fight or a match with anybody you're putting there with. That's your fucking job, you know?
One last thing, because you mentioned Kurt, and you and him have one thing in common. You're both about 170 pounds dripping wet. And yet you generate the hardest fucking chops of any human beings, 300-pounders, 350-pounders. How the hell do you hit so fucking hard?
You know what?
Does the physics work? I don't understand how the physics of it works.
I have long arms and bony hands.
Jesus Christ.
But I didn't, like I said, like that whole persona and like that moniker of like stiff robot, like that is not that old. I mean, a couple years old, not a little longer, but like, you gotta realize, like, Gary the Barnell was a thing for a while, and then Gary J was a thing, but like, I didn't really know who Gary J was until the last couple years.
Sure.
Like, really, really got comfortable.
So who is Gary J now?
Gary J now is fucking, guy's been wrestling 17 years, going there and smacking around, beat the shit out of you. Like, he's gonna go out there now and fight until he's got everything, you know, until he's not getting back up. He's one of those things where, like, I think in wrestling sometimes, and I was just thinking about this the other day, is like, wrestling's fun, obviously, you know, it's entertainment. Yeah, I said it. But like at the same time, like sometimes I think people forget, like, this is like a full contact thing. Like,
it is.
Exactly.
Like, I'm watching you. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
exactly. And like, I consider myself to be like, and I don't care if people shit on it. Like, I've been told a billion times, like, oh, that was unsafe. That was reckless. Oh, blur, garbage. I don't, fuck off, man. I don't, whatever. Like, guess what? It's 2020. Shit's changed. Times have changed. Mm-hmm. Things are different. There's room in wrestling for kind of every little category. Like, my own personal preference is, like, it's a car wreck, man. Like, it's a real fight. You're in there. You think you're watching these guys really fucking hate each other. There's not enough these guys are mad at each other fighting anymore. Now it's handshake and hugs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for the right circumstance, I'm all right with. But, you know, I'll go on a rant, but, like, it seems like every match I watch now, we're shaking hands and hugging. It's like, okay, guys, that was cool. That was great. Good match.
I've been to shows where there's five matches and five hugs.
Yeah. Can we just do that in the back? And then get, you know, can we save that for something, like, important? Not just every match?
Yeah.
We can jerk each other off in the back, brother. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, pulling the curtain back. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but that's what I think is oversaturated is, like, ooh, I respect you. Cool. Yeah, we get it. But how are you going to draw money if everybody respects each other?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some shit going. We're like, let's talk some shit. Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He talks so much shit, and he backs it up. And if you don't back it up, he just gets knocked the fuck out. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's kind of the stance of like what I take on things and like how I perceive myself and I think nowadays.
How do people find you? How do people get to know you? How do people find your stuff?
Oh, man, you want to get to know me? Just send me cat stuff on Twitter, @StiffRoboGinger, or my Facebook's Gary J, and I believe my Instagram's StiffRoboGinger. And I still have my emails, barnal18@AOL.com.
Oh, you got the AOL account.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Barnal18. I made that when I was 18 years old.
That's how you know you're a vet. You got the AOL account.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I started wrestling when I was 17. I'm 34 now.
You're still killing it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And like I said, and I've still got a lot left in the tank, oddly enough. But like, I just like helping a lot as much as I can now. Like, anytime I can help younger guys or get guys like an Aaron Williams out of his era to show the world how good he fucking is. Or like, anytime I can help, I will.
Any big shows coming up too? We're going to see you?
Oh, man. Well, obviously tonight, Strong Style Series. Good Lord, that's going to be insane. I can't even fathom to put together what I'm sure will happen. Let's see here. I got Black Label Pro in, I believe, Crown Point, Indiana next Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's got a shit ton of a stack card like they always do. Black Label's always in place. Yeah. And if you can't watch, if you can't make it, just watch IWTV. I believe the 23 days is Anarchy. I think it's Anarchy. Something like that. I'm sure if you know the gimmick.
Who else? Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy will know it all. Tommy's another kid that came in as just a fan, and now he helps run the company.
Kid's family to me, yeah.
Oh, he's so good. He's learning. He picked up so good. He's a good kid. Not even a kid. He's older than me, probably. But Black Label Pro next week. And honestly, the rest of my dates should be on my Twitter or my Facebook. But I appreciate your time today, man.
Appreciate it,
man.
Thank you kindly.
Absolutely.
Here with Eric Stevens. Eric, thank you so much for joining me here.
Sure. My pleasure.
And you were on the comeback trail, or the tail end of it.
I was going to say, I'm wrapping things up.
You're wrapping things up with the comeback trail.
Yeah.
You've been here almost a year now. How has it been? How have you enjoyed your decision to come back? Or
There's been moments that I've regretted it, and there's been moments that I've loved every single second of it, and that's just pro wrestling in a nutshell. It's life, you know. There's been times where I was wondering what I was doing, you know. Like the travel situation has been the hardest part for me. Being away from my family has been very hard. The physicality, the injuries, all that stuff, the lack of sleep, not a big deal. That's fine. But the time away from my family is the hard part. Like tomorrow, for example, my son has football practice. I've missed all but one of his football practices. Just started playing football, so that's hard for me. But like I said, we're wrapping up. The last 10 months have gone by so fast. It's been, not to be cliche, it's gone by in a blink of an eye. And it's been a lot of fun, but I think we're gonna finish strong here.
Just to backtrack, you started wrestling when?
My first match was in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you came up to the scene. A lot of people recognize you from Ring of Honor.
Yes.
You wrestled through up until your, I guess, first retirement was when?
2010. So 2010. I started in Florida in 2003, wrestled in IPW Florida, NWA Florida, and then FIP, which was my gateway to Ring of Honor. Wrestled for Ring of Honor from 2007 to 2010, retired, and then took 9 years off and came back.
What prompted the decision to come back? It sounds crazy.
It is crazy. I've gotten pretty good at telling the story because it's really actually quite interesting. But my wife and I, let me backtrack quick. It was WrestleMania weekend last year. And as you know, there's a lot of wrestling streamed on the internet. A lot of independent wrestling.
Well, I'm going to 15 shows.
Exactly.
This WrestleMania weekend.
You
know I'm crazy.
And I'm wrestling on 7, I know how it is. So it's like I had not watched much independent wrestling. And I decided I bought the Fight TV package with the collective shows, and I watched a bunch of independent wrestling, and it got me really amped up. And it just so happened that Saturday night, it was my wife and I, we have a date night. And we go out without the kids, we have some drinks, whatever. And yeah, I had a few pops, a few margaritas, and we started talking. My wife's a life coach, so she likes to ask deep, introspective questions. And she asked me if I had any regrets or any dreams that scared me. And I was like, yeah, one and the same. Basically, every night of my life, like the previous 9 years, I had gone to bed thinking about wrestling, like wondering if I could still do it, contemplating a comeback. But I got scared. Honestly, fear is what kept me from coming back every single time. And I told her that, and she said, just do it. And I was like, really? You know you're going to be home with the kids for weekends at a time. You know I'm going to be hurt all the time, be tired. She's like, just do it. It's a year, and you won't have any more regrets. And I said, you know what? I got your blessing, that's really all that matters. Because for me, that was the thing that held me back the most, was the guilty conscience of leaving her alone with the kids. And I put that. It's funny because I was drunk, really drunk as hell, and I tweeted out like, "Hey, I'm taking bookings." I didn't think anything would come of it. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I didn't even remember doing it. The next morning, I woke up, and the tweet had been retweeted. A couple days went by, and I secured a match in Florida first against Milo Beasley, which also was like my warm-up match for my first out-of-state match with Chris Dickinson and beyond. And Drew gave me a huge opportunity there to showcase myself and my skills and show that I wasn't like washed, you know, that I could still do it on a national scene, live stream for some people to watch. And that was really the springboard. And I can't thank Drew enough for that. And I'm forever indebted to him for that. But that's what brought me back. And ever since then, it's been a lot of matches, a lot of good times, and a lot of good memories.
What came up with the decision to just do it for 1 year and not come back for a longer basis?
Well, one, I wasn't sure my body could take it. So I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew. Second, WrestleMania is in Tampa. And I figured if I was going to write an end to my story, if I was going to put a bookend on this thing and I wanted to retire the right way, I got to do it where I started.
Sure.
You know, I cut my teeth in Tampa. I cut my teeth in Ybor. I used to wrestle in the same – I've wrestled in the Cuban Club before. A lot of people can't say that. You know, a lot of people that are wrestling in the Cuban Club never even heard of the Cuban Club. But I've wrestled in there. So I figured it was apropos, very poetic, to finish my career where it started in Tampa and put, like I said, a nice little bow on my story. I got a lot of life things that are going on. And, you know, I think about it a lot. My biggest regret is that I, you know, I quit the first time. Who knows what would happen? But I think a year is a good time to show that I can still do it and I can have fun, have some good matches, and like I said, write the end of my story and not let somebody else finish it for me.
What are some of the matches of the last year that you really felt you've clicked and have been some of the wrestlers you've been really impressed with and some of the guys where you said, these guys are really going to carry the business going forward?
Well, a couple guys I've wrestled that are on the show tonight, Daniel McCabe and Gary J, were two of my favorite matches. Gary J in particular has a style that is meshes well with mine. We like to hit hard, chop, all that stuff. Dan is like he's like almost my polar opposite. He can strike, he can hang, but he's more of a technical guy, so it's a nice clash of styles. I've had some really good matches that I never thought I'd have the chance to have, including one against Alex Shelley, which is crazy because I spent so many hours with Alex Shelley in locker rooms and never got a chance to wrestle him. And it was really cool, a great opportunity. He's one of the best in the world, and I don't think he'll ever get the props he really deserves. I got to wrestle David Starr, which was the guy that, like, I had my bullseye on him from day one because he was like one of the top dogs. I was like, I gotta wrestle, I gotta prove that I can still hang. And so that was really cool. That was a match that I was very proud of. I've gotten to wrestle Tom Lawler a couple times, and him and I have a good chemistry as tag partners and as opponents. So there's so much talent. I'm not even gonna cross off all the names on my list. Like, I had so many guys, and I have so many guys I've learned of since coming back that I think I would have good matches with, but just not enough time.
Now, one guy you always pretty much throughout your career have had a relationship with who is absolutely killing it in NXT now is Roderick Strong. Talk about the impact he's had on your career and really on just on you as a wrestler and as a person.
Well, Roderick Strong is probably, admittedly, not a great coach slash mentor, but he is a good teacher.
Okay.
He doesn't have a soft touch. But while that some people might be turned off by that, it made me better as an athlete. It made me more resilient. It made me tougher, which is this is a business that's hard. And if you're not tough enough for it, it'll eat you up, and you're gonna get broken down. But he's an exceptional athlete. He's a guy who's very driven. A guy who we used to sit in cars, you know, on way to shows together, and he used to tell me about his dreams and like his long term goals, and it's been a pleasure and just amazing to watch him live out his dreams. Everything he said he was gonna do, he did, and I'm the exact same way. I don't articulate anything unless I plan on following through. So when I said I was coming back for a year, I wasn't gonna have one or two matches. I'm gonna come back, and there's been a couple times last month or two where I wanted to quit. Don't get me wrong. Travel's been hard, it's been rough on my body, mentally it's tough, but I said I was going to retire in Tampa, and I'm going to do that, and not only that, but I'm going to finish with the best stretch of my career. These last dozen or so matches are going to be something I can hang my hat on, and I can go to bed every night and be happy about it. I want to make Roddy proud because, you know, I know he's proud that I came back, but that's not enough for us. We don't there's no half measures with Camp Strong. You know, we follow through, we do everything 110%, and I'm gonna come through and I'm gonna hopefully get to wrestle in front of him. That might be a little nerve wracking, but get to finish strong in Tampa and do him proud.
And you talked about those last dozen or so matches.
Yeah.
Who's on the docket?
Well,
to finish strong.
Tonight I have Gary J again for the last time. Mm-hmm. You know, that match is not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everybody's watching live on independentwrestling.tv. And then I have Josh Alexander next week, who was one of my original guys on my list, the very first list I mm-hmm. ever wrote back in April. I wanted to wrestle him so bad. I mean, I remember seeing this guy when he was in PWG with Ethan Page and their tag team. It's like, this guy's awesome. No offense to Ethan. It was just stylistic.
Sure, yeah, no,
like,
yeah.
I want Josh. Even Ethan will say, yeah. It's a good matchup. And we were supposed to wrestle at Black Label Pro a few months back.
Josh got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to do it. But now he's back. He's a tough bastard. I know he's going to give me 110%. I'm really excited for that match. So excited it's live streamed, and I think we're going to blow the roof off the place. And then I can't really divulge many things about my WrestleMania stuff because it hasn't been.
Well, I've been trying to milk Mikey for what's going on, and he won't tell me. Yeah.
Trust me, I got some good stuff coming. But one thing that has been announced is me versus Tony Deppen, which is going to be really, really good. That's another guy I think is super underrated.
Pizza party, right?
Yeah, it's a pizza party. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a lot of praise in this next year or so. Mm-hmm. But I think up until this point.
Oh, he was in my top five last
everybody
year.
Everybody loves his opponents. Everybody says, oh, his opponent's so good. He's kind of like Good Luck Chuck. He wrestles these guys. Mm-hmm. Get signed, and then everybody forgets about Tony Deppen. But I kind of I'm a kindred spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, Ring of Honor, I watched all these guys like get signed, get these big deals, get all this praise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm having good matches too, you know. So I understand. I'm really excited to wrestle him. He's very unorthodox, and also I have a four-way at the Body Guy Extravaganza, which is going to be really fun. Me, Jake Something, Josh again, and Dickinson, which will be a lot of meat slapping together. Which is, I love meat slapping, so it's gonna be a good time. And am I forgetting anything? I don't think anything else. I don't want to let my mouth
a lot of matches still to be revealed.
I don't want to get any heat. Yeah. I don't think anything else has been announced that I could divulge. Mm-hmm. But and I have my last match for AIW in Cleveland next month, and that'll be my only match in March. So I'd like to rest up and be 100% for that stretch run in WrestleMania weekend.
Now you're a body guy. You got a hell of a physique. You got a hell
right
of
now. Re- right. Well, right now I'm in like a state of flux. I've actually, not to cut you off, but like when I started back, and I had this conversation today. When I came back, I was very lean. I was like 182 pounds. I do jiu-jitsu, so I was doing jiu-jitsu like four times a week, doing a lot of cardio, not eating that much. But I came back and everything started to hurt, you know, and I was tired all the time. I was just getting beat down between the travel, between the physicality of pro wrestling. So I had to gain a little bit of mass, and it's been a little uncomfortable because I'd been in that body weight range for so long, and I kind of resigned myself to being like a leaner guy, and now it's been nice to kind of eat more and get a little bit meatier, as they say. But
I was gonna say it's shocking that you're not more meaty because of the cookies.
Yes, yes.
Talk about the cookies because it's like they're world famous.
Well, it's like Notorious B.I.G. says, don't get high on your own supply. It's one of the 10 commandments. So I do sample my cookies for quality control purposes, especially when I make a new flavor. I gotta know if it's good. Mm-hmm. But once you've had it a couple times, it kind of loses that crack factor. Mm-hmm. You just want to keep eating it. I do love food though, so ice cream is a big thing for me, and I run the.
But tell my audience about your cookies.
Okay, so my cookies, cookies and cream Sarasota. It's all online right now. There's no brick and mortar.
Cookies with a K.
Cookies with a K, very important. Now I'm pretty sure if you put it in with a C, Google would do its thing.
Sure.
But just to make sure, cookies and cream, both with a K, Sarasota. And we don't have a brick and mortar yet. We're looking for real estate. Mm-hmm. I really want a brick and mortar because I just want to go and make cookies all day. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm retired. I just want to go and make cookies and ice cream and just help people.
It's American dream, baby.
Yeah, I just want to make people happy with their feet. So I love making people happy with wrestling. That's always why I want to get into wrestling and have good matches. And I wanted to make people feel the way I felt when I used to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. Food is the same thing. Mm-hmm. The feeling I get when I have like a really good pint of ice cream, I want to make people feel that. Mm-hmm. Cookies the same way. Like, wow, this is really good. I love this cookie. I want to make people feel that. It's just in a level of enjoyment from two different, much different genres, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing. And I run a food blog too, where I review food with my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm more famous as Family Food Dude on Instagram and YouTube than I am for my wrestling, exponentially. I get recognized in public all the time, not as Eric Stevens, but as Family Food Dude. I don't have a problem with that at all.
So you're Family Food Dude on YouTube, you're Cookies and Cream Sarasota, you're Eric Stevens on Twitter.
Eric Stevens 82,
Eric Stevens 82 on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to plug?
You know what? No, I just say if you are not subscribed to independentwrestling.tv, please do that, because not only are most of my matches from this comeback on there, but there are so many great matches from great promotions, more being added like by the day. It's wild. And this is a service that I wish I had when I was coming up in the business, both as a worker and as a fan. Like, just be able to watch all this wrestling. It's so awesome. And I'm so glad that streaming is a viable service. And if you sign up, use code ChooChoo for
get your own code. Look at you.
Yeah. Wow. I always forget to plug it, because I try to defer to my promotions. Like, if it's a Black Label show, I'll use code Black Label. I don't feel right using mine. But anyways, the point is, subscribe to independentwrestling.tv, because it's a great service and there's so much good wrestling. And they have Zona 23, which is wild.
Which is unbelievable.
I cannot believe they have it. What a time.
Did you see the last show with the Flaming Lobster Chaps?
Yes. I don't know what's wrong with those guys.
Unbelievable.
I love it, though. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Eric Stevens, check out his last few matches. He's going to be killing it. I'm here with Big Beef, Gnarls Garvin, Jake Garvin, one of the young rising stars of the, I'd say, Midwestern scene, but you're hitting everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Talk about you. You're how many years in the business now?
I'm working on five. In Excellent. May, it'll be five. So I'm 4.5. Right now, 3 years wrestling and like a year of training, so like altogether almost five.
And where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Louisville, Kentucky.
So you're in St. Louis right now.
Yeah.
How long was that drive?
Today it was only 4 hours.
Only 4 hours.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Jeez. Yeah, like when I first started though, I was just those 17-hour, like 24-hour trips. So like this is nothing for me. This is like in my backyard.
What's the longest trip you've ever done?
I believe it was to, probably definitely like Colorado. Colorado is like 24 hours. Arizona is like 20. Texas is like 22. Oh, yeah. That was every weekend for the first like 2 or 3 years of my career. So, yeah.
Arizona and Colorado for every weekend of your career?
Oh, like once or twice a month, yeah. Like I'd have we'd start out Tennessee, some random booking like along the way going south, and then we'd end up Texas, or like say there'd be a week.
You go Tennessee to Texas.
Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, or Tennessee.
You're insane.
Hey, luckily the guys I started with, like they installed that in me. Like you gotta get out there and travel. Like if you're a big fish in the Midwest, that's okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Like, but like if you're everywhere and you're getting your face seen all over the country, you know, like it's gonna get you further, and that's a testament to like the hooligans. Like that's who got me on the road. And
hooligans are the guys who got you traveling.
Yep. That's who I really give the credit to for my training.
Mm-hmm. Those dudes travel too.
Oh my god.
Those dudes go everywhere.
Oh yeah. If it wasn't for them, I've already wrestled in I believe 28 states.
In 5 years.
5 years. Yep.
Shit.
Yep. So, those guys helped me out more than I can even explain.
What did they teach you too about, what else did you learn from them sort of about, you know, respecting the business and about, you know, about the business itself from those car rides?
That the business is sacred. Like this is, it's a very stressful business, but it's supposed to be fun, you know? So like, you hold to the sacred things of the business as like the respect, you keep the, you know, to a certain extent, you keep the makings of wrestling to yourself, not to like the outside eye, but like this, the way the business is now, like you, like we're doing this, you know, like we're talking about like some of the makings and sides, but like just to respect it and to love it, like, and like have fun with it. Cause if it's not fun, it's not like, this is hard on your body. Like, if you're not having fun with it, you're wasting your time essentially. That's the way I see it. Cause I don't plan on making much money in this unless like I get jacked and grow 4 inches. So I'm, you know, this is my lifelong passion. So like they made me feel like it was okay to be passionate about it. Even if there is no end game, like there's no goal, do what you love and do it well and treat it with respect.
What is your goal though? Because I mean, you're very talented. You're pretty young in the business.
Thank you.
You're a big boy. They're looking for, there's more organizations that are paying full-time wrestlers growing up. Do you see yourself getting on those radars? Is that your end goal, or is your end goal to have fun?
I mean, of course, like my goal wouldn't make some money, but I don't know if this is terrible for me to say, but I don't see it happening for me. You know, like I've been told that it will. I've been told by people that like I have what it takes, but you know, like, and just in my heart of hearts, I don't think that it will happen for me. Like I'm a very realistic person. Like, and trust me, if it happens, I'm gonna do this for as long as I can, regardless, money or no money. So My goal would be, yes, to make some money at this. Because, mm-hmm. like, sure. right, I'm doing okay for myself now, but, like, if I was to get, like, you know, get, like, a contract mm-hmm. and stuff, you know, it's guaranteed money, but I just don't really see that happening for me. Like, I appreciate the kind words, and, like, mm-hmm. I really do.
I think you're better than you think.
I'm just extremely humble.
Sure.
I don't really ever want to believe my own shit, or yeah. you know, like, you know, get, you know, be high on myself. Mm-hmm. It's like that's when people start really, you know, making those big mistakes. So my goal is though just to wrestle as long as I can, mm-hmm. you know, and I really really like take pride in like always like getting comments like you're a throw, I am a throwback, and like mm-hmm. I remind people like the older days of wrestling, and like that's my goal is just mm-hmm. like be like a stand out, but also just keep it traditional. Because mm-hmm. like nowadays to stand out, a lot of people are hurting themselves and stuff. But like Terry Funk, all he would have to do is like, you know, like have a shirt over his head or have a chair wrapped around his head, and like that would like, you know, that's how he would stand out. That's like that's my goals in wrestling. You know, just be different and like, you know, make some money, eventually.
Now you mentioned Terry Funk. You know, you're a bigger guy. I see a lot of Terry Gordy in you, actually.
Well, thank you.
Who are your influences? Who are the guys who you try to pattern yourself after? Who are the guys you're trying to watch when you have a little downtime and say, this is someone I wanna emulate?
Well, like you said, Gordy. Gordy's mm-hmm. God to me. Like, Gordy's number one. I even try to look like him in the ring, like my mm-hmm. gear. Like, everything yeah. I do is pattern after him. Like, mm-hmm. I study him. I try to throw my strike. Like, I'm nowhere. I cannot even touch, like, what he did mm-hmm. at all. Like, and, yeah, he's the guy that I find inspiration from promos. Like mm-hmm. he's simple. He's like he doesn't speak like he knows more than anybody else. And that's how I honestly feel about myself. So I try to emulate that style. Like it's just like you said, I'm a big boy and I'm kind of like, I don't want to say dumb, but like, you know, I go out there and throw hands and stuff and just kind of act foolish out there. But yeah, Terry Gordy is definitely like God in my book. Hansen, mm-hmm. I really, like I said, I love Funk. I love Dory Funk. Mm-hmm. I'm really big in All Japan. It's like my favorite wrestling, like especially from the 90s. So like guys like Kobashi mm-hmm. and I would say Baba, but like, you know, like Baba is like he's somebody that like I can like learn pacing from, like mm-hmm. and like I really really enjoy Baba for that. But yeah, I'd say like my top five: Gordy, Hansen, Edge. That's a surprise.
People sure. Like, people why never, not?
Yeah, Edge is up there.
That's a curveball.
Oh yeah. And then probably after that, it's like I'd have to say it's hard. I don't know. Brody.
Sure. I Brody, can see that. I can definitely see that. Yeah.
And just because I'm going to say, let's say Kawada. I like Kawada a lot.
Kawada, yeah. I like that too.
I like how thick he is and like how, like, you know, he's an athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, he just would whip ass. So,
now, you really started to embrace, especially in the last year or two, mm-hmm. you really started to embrace your character. You've become Big Beef. You've mm-hmm. become a full three-dimensional, full-fledged character. How did that process come about? How did you really come to embrace that?
Well, Big Beef has that, like, it's kind of been my thing for, like, I guess since, like, I got with the Hooligans. I sure. was in Texas, and we were at a music festival wrestling. It got canceled mm-hmm. the second day, and we were just sitting around waiting to tear down the ring. But it was, like, it took, like, 2 hours for the rain to stop. We, mm-hmm. like, we had to sit underneath the pavilion forever. We ended up having to leave. We didn't get to help tear a ring down.
Sure.
But it's from Texas. This yeah. was a 20-something hour ride. They let us go. But I was sitting around with Zach from Roscoe East Lisa. I don't know if mm-hmm. you remember
yep.
him.
Yep.
He was basically like, I was like, dude, you all have this all figured out. You all have a complete package. Like, I have no clue what I'm doing. Like, I was wearing like green trunks and like short boots and no knee. Like, I had nothing. Like,
well, you're not supposed to in the beginning.
Exactly. So like, but like me being like, I'm like how you say, like, it's like three dimensional. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, it's all there. Like, I'm all for a package. Like, I used to play in bands and stuff. So like, when you're touring and all that, like, you want to have like a look that like people get behind, mm-hmm. like, you know, like merch and whatnot. So I had no clue how to get that together. So I got with Zach because he's crazy. Him and Mike, you're both so creative. And I was like, what am I? He's like, you're big and beefy. You're Big Beef. And just from there it started. I forgot to, like, as far as work goes, I think he's like amazing, but like his character was like 10 times better as Brian Pillman. Like mm-hmm. when he became Loose Cannon.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, something about him, it was so raw that like mm-hmm. I was like, I want a piece of that. Mm-hmm. I want like the rawness. I just want to be raw. Like yeah. Hanson was like real raw. His like sometimes the interviews you couldn't understand what he was saying, but like you got what he was saying. You know, I really like, you know, I like guys like that. So I just took from Pillman the craziness, from Hanson just the craziness, mm-hmm. and like I'm really into like growing up. I was raised like to like. My dad was an atheist, and my mom's like a real big Christian, so like I've always been confused about things sure. in life, you know.
Yeah. So that'd like, be interesting.
Exactly. It's a weird dynamic, yeah. and like control has always been like a real like I've had some things happen to me in my past that like really like made me want to be in control of everything in my life because I was taken advantage of and like you know things that yeah. like were hard on like mm-hmm. I don't know like so like I'm not really a very controlling person, but like I want Big Beef to seem like somebody that can like he wants control.
Sure.
So that was like another big thing, like using stuff that actually affects me, like put into the character, like I can actually own that. You know, I can like in promos, like I can like try to like you know get that across. Like yeah, I want you all like to love me because I don't know being in church and stuff. You see all like the craziness, the weirdness of like people like giving themselves so much to that, like that's kind of like how I wanted like Big Beef to be, like not like God or anything, not like to be worshipped, but like you can come to me, like that's basically like where I'm trying to get to with Big Beef, you know. That's yeah. I'm
sorry. Put a lot of thought into this. No, you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, yeah. I've it's literally all I think about all day. I'm working in 60-hour weeks at work, I'm just slaving away, hate my life, but.
But you know what though? This is our escape. This is our escape. This is where we come for to get away from the BS of the real world. This is kind of our happy place.
Oh yeah. If I didn't have this, I would probably have like my life would have been like I'd probably be in a lot of trouble or like probably have like 5 kids by now. Honestly, like the business is like my getaway and my saving grace. You know, it's an outlet that I needed desperately because I was playing music and like that was okay, but like I needed something more physical and more, you know, more like I could get an emotion out through music, but like with my face and with my body and my like anything else like that, like I don't know, I feel like I can actually get out what I'm trying to get out. Music is like that people say it's a great way to like you get your emotions out there, but like this is how I do, like this is my best outlet for that.
Well, it's a physical expression.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And people understand that. People not everybody's a fan of music. Not everybody's a fan of wrestling. But people understand body language. People understand when you're punching somebody that you're mad at them. You know, like this is like the simplest way for me to get out like all of my emotions and like for people to actually, you know, like they get what I'm trying to put out there. And that's very satisfying to me because like I said, like I feel like I can kind of have a little bit of control.
No, it's a control thing. You're able to command an audience's emotions as well. You're able to get people to feel what you're feeling through what you're doing as well. You're able to command ups and downs and take people on a journey with you.
Yeah.
That has to be a very empowering thing.
Yeah, this is my song now. You know, like I know it sounds corny and cheesy to say, but this is like my music. And it's how I get my message out. Like, cause everything I say, I truly like do believe in. Like, I don't really say like, I don't get too deep on like what I believe and stuff, but like I do believe in like, you know, giving, like being passionate and like, you know, like really like pouring your whole soul into what you do. If you don't, you're wasting your time. So
cool. Now, I saw you really mature as well in the Scenic City Futures match.
Okay, yeah.
With Manners and Zach Cooper. That was the sleeper match of the weekend.
Thank you.
Talk about how that match came together and talk about what that match meant to you.
Well, that match just simply came together as like a match, you know, like you just kind of wait, you get.
Yeah, but we had three big boys beating the crap out of each other there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think there was like a lot of excitement around like, you know, Manders and I, like we always, you know, got like everybody always want to see us wrestle, and then like throwing Zach in there like just made it like 10 times better in my opinion. And I'm like really happy for Zach. He just got signed. So yeah. That's really cool. Yep. That match just kind of came about, I guess, out of curiosity from the bookers, like what can we do with the three biggest guys in the scene, like in the Futures tournament in the like first round. And a lot, like I'm not one to toot my own horn. This is all what I've heard. Like people said, that should have been the finals, you know. But like, you know, I think what we did there was like we proved a point. Like don't do that to us no more, you know. Don't. Yeah. Like, it's not that it's like like, I'm so grateful for every opportunity I've gotten. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, like, that day I felt real proud of what we mm-hmm. did, you know. I busted my eardrum. It was, like, Manners blew my shit out. Like, it was bleeding. I was blowing air through it and everything. But, that match was – that changed kind of, like – that kind of helped guide me where I am now. Because, like, then I was, like, trying to, like – I was really trying to just, like, break down what I was doing. And then, like – that week and just keep doing what you're doing. Don't mm-hmm. worry. Don't worry. What you're doing is
that was sort of a turning working. Point for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I was very unsure of myself. Honestly, I feel like I didn't belong there. I know as silly as that sounds, like I felt
having been there, you proved yourself there.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was, you know, that was one of those things. I don't know. It was one of those like. It clicked for me in that mm-hmm. moment, like working with those guys, like didn't have to really kill ourselves, and like we just had to go out there and put hard work in, and I think the crowd mm-hmm. really saw that and they felt it. And I don't know, after that weekend things changed for me. Like I've been booked nonstop. Like I've been booked continuously at places mm-hmm. that are like top independents. I'm getting looks like from those guys. So that's you know, that match does mean a lot to mm-hmm. me in my heart. I think about it all the time. I think about those guys a lot, because without that match, I'd probably, you know, still be trying to like I'm still always looking for bookings, but now there are people are like booking me, you know, mm-hmm. like that weekend like really changed a lot for me.
You're here at St. Louis Anarchy. Have you've been here before, right?
Yeah. I've been here for a year and a half.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who are you working tonight? Talk about your match tonight. What does this place mean to you?
Well, St. Louis Anarchy is home for me. Mm-hmm. It's like another place, like SCI was mm-hmm. my launching pad. Like mm-hmm. My very first match here was with Larry D.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, like, I think people saw what I never really got a chance to show what I could bring. Mm-hmm. Like, I was always in scrambles or, you know, like, something like that, which is not bad as a spot, but being, like, getting there with Larry D, you know, I got to really show what I could bring. And from then on out, this place became my home. Mm-hmm. After that, I've been here for about a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. And tonight I'm wrestling Matt Kenway, the Kenway. And I would say... from that match, I would expect a lot of brutality from me and like a lot of technicality, mm-hmm. you know, technical stuff on his side. I feel real good about this. I've not got a win at Anarchy yet, and I think tonight will be my very first win.
Cool.
So I know he's been saying I got to eat the L, but I'm not feeling that tonight. I'm feeling very good about myself tonight.
People want to find you. How do they find you on social media?
You can find me on Facebook as Gnarls Garvin. Mm-hmm. Twitter is Gnarls Garvin as well. Mm-hmm. And Instagram is Big F and Beef.
Cool.
Yep.
Thanks. Big Beef Garvin, thank you so much. To have it focused, my price range is lower. Now I'm knocking like the whole banana.